Harper Audio presents The Vampire and the Virgin by Carolyn Sparks. Performed by Therese Plummer. If only she could see his face better. Her gaze drifted over to the telescope. Why not? She rushed over, pointed it in the man's direction, and peered through the eyepiece. Oh yeah, he did not disappoint. His eyes looked sharp and intelligent, pale, though she couldn't tell the color. He had a straight, strong nose, a wide mouth, and a strong jaw with a sexy hint of dark whiskers. There was a grim expression on his face, but it didn't make him unattractive. Quite the opposite. It added to his aura of masculine power. She lowered the scope to his body. His chest expanded with each deep breath, and she found herself matching her breaths to his. Even lower, she noted his muscular thighs and calves. His white running shoes pounded on the sand, leaving a steady trail. He continued down the beach toward the rock known as Petra, giving her a glorious view of his backside. Opa! Chapter 1. Robbie McKay had murder on his mind as he approached the rendezvous site in Central Park. The peaceful scene did little to dissuade his violent thoughts. Moonlight sparkled on the still lake and gleamed off the aluminum hulls of overturned rowboats along the shore. The boathouse sat nearby, empty and quiet. Robbie only took notice because he was checking for signs of an ambush. He and his companions halted in front of a series of steps that descended into a dark gully. At the bottom was a tunnel with a malcontent waiting inside. Waiting for his death, if Robbie had his way. He started down the stairs with Zoltan and Phineas. Angus McKay and his wife Emma charged over the hill with vampire speed so they could investigate the far side of the tunnel.
"I told you, come alone," a Russian-accented voice whispered from the black interior of the tunnel.
Phineas stopped on a landing halfway down the stairs, his hand curling around the hilt of his sword.
"You've been trying to kill me for months, Stan. Of course I brought some mean and nasty dudes with me. One wrong move and they're gonna make you look like beef stroganoff."
After surviving entirely on blood for almost 300 years, Robbie wasn't sure what beef stroganoff looked like, but he took grim pleasure in being called a mean and nasty dude. Unfortunately, right now, he was more of a clumsy weakling. Each step felt like he was sinking into wet, shifting sand. The casts and bandages had been removed last night from his feet and hands, so tonight he'd claimed he was ready for action. It was a bluff he could pull off only if he didn't fall down the stairs. Meanwhile, the other mean and nasty dude, Zoltan Zikvar, zipped down the stairs at vampire speed and positioned himself against the brick wall to the right of the tunnel entrance. The Russian had insisted earlier on the phone that he would come alone to meet Phineas. Robbie and his fellow vamps suspected a trap. But the question was, where? No doubt the malcontents realized a group of vamps would accompany Phineas to Central Park. Did the malcontents plan to attack in the park? Or were they hoping the vamps would leave their base at Romatech Industries, understaffed and vulnerable? Either way, the vamps knew they had no choice but to divide and protect both Phineas and Romatech. Robbie had asked to go with the group to Central Park, figuring it afforded him the best chance at killing a malcontent. One wouldn't be enough, but it was a good start. He made it to the bottom of the stairs and stationed himself to the left of the entrance.
"Yo, Stan," Phineas called to the Russian. "You paying rent for that tunnel or what?"
He drew his sword and affected a gangster voice.
"Come out and say hello to my little friend."
The Russian vampire, dressed in black cargo pants and a black sweatshirt jacket, eased slowly from the tunnel. The hood was pulled over his head, casting his face in shadow, although the icy blue of his eyes glittered as his gaze darted nervously about.
He flinched when Zoltan whipped his sword out, the blade gleaming in the moonlight mere inches from the Russian's shoulder. Robbie followed suit, reaching overhead to draw the claymore from the sheath on his back. When his grip faltered, he grasped the hilt with both hands to keep from dropping the weapon and making a dent in his thick skull. Bugger. He should have brought a lighter weight sword. He lowered the sword and rested the tip on the ground. The Russian lifted his hands in surrender.